Well, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word together? Last week, Paul preached from Hebrews 11. Didn't he do a wonderful job in his inaugural message here? And so I thought I'd just stick in Hebrews and I'd skip over a couple chapters here. We have a new series coming later in the fall, but for now, we'll stick kind of in here. So Hebrews chapter 13. And if you ever need a Bible, they're on the back table. You can keep it, take it with you, give it to a friend, or put it back when you're done. I'll also encourage you just to bring one with you if you have one. So Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to read the first three verses with you. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, one of our six core values as a church is radical generosity. And it says this, that the scriptures and the Spirit call us to a generous lifestyle, to be generous with our words, our time, and our money and possessions. God, by nature, is a radical giver. God so loved the world that he gave his most precious possession, his one and only Son. We therefore are to reflect the generous heart of God in our actions and in our finances. Because all is God's and nothing is ours, we joyfully give and are generous with each other in our community when it comes to our love and resources. So there's no sense in having a core value if we don't lean into it and talk about it often. And what I want you to come away with this morning is that giving is a lot of fun. It's a beautiful, lively encounter with God that is full of surprises and God encounters. And I have dozens of stories that I could tell you, but I'll just tell you one of the very most recent. I was meeting with someone, not from the church, but meeting with them in the church. And we were just meeting, and they wanted to talk to me about something, but no connection here necessarily. And at the end of it, they just kind of surprised me and randomly gave me a $100 bill. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a lot. And so I put it in my wallet. I didn't really have any plans necessarily for it. I was just kind of thinking about it. And then I came across a situation where I had an opportunity to bless someone. And just kind of, I wasn't planning on giving it away, but just in the moment, I was like, oh, I'm gonna re-gift this and give it to someone. And so I gave them $100 and was able to surprise them and bless them. And then a couple days later, somebody again randomly gives me $100, right? And so, you know, I'm like, all right, I guess God wants me to have $100. I'll keep this one. But that's, you know, just the beautiful way God's kingdom works when we are open to it. And I have so many stories like that where you just see that God is obviously at work in orchestrating things. So this morning I want to touch on three areas I believe we're called to radical generosity in, using these first three verses of Hebrews sort of as our outline. So my title this morning is Caring Through Giving. And Paul told me his next message is going to be Caring Through Praying. So I thought, well, I'll kind of piggyback that and I'll do Caring Through Giving. And so we're going to look at how we care for our local church, our local community, and our global community. And I'll kind of categorize those as the tithe, others, and missions. So let's begin with that we take care of our local church. So caring through giving, how do we care? Well, we take care of our local church. And this is kind of the tithe. So verse 1 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. So here we're mostly talking about caring for each other, caring for our church. And one thing the early church was majorly known for was their abundant generosity and giving. I mean, the main problem in the early church actually wasn't lack of finances. The main problem was actually excess and overflow of finances because of their love for each other. The position of deacon in the church was actually created for one reason, to figure out how to wisely distribute the overflow of giving that was coming in. You can read about it in Acts 6. It was like, oh my goodness, you know, these people have been so transformed by God's grace and are so willing and ready to give that there's just so much coming in, so many resources. We need to appoint deacons to figure out how we can use this best to bless our community and further God's kingdom. And what a great, you know, problem to have, right? That people were so filled with love for God's kingdom that they just started sacrificially giving to their local Christian community. And the reason I love giving to my local church, in this case, Oceanside, is I get to see how it blesses so many people in so many ways, which just makes me want to give more. So if you want to lean into a life of faith and obedience and generosity, the starting place is what we call the tithe. It's a biblical word that literally means one-tenth or 10%. And this is a practice that dates back thousands of years. It predates the Old Testament law. It's then affirmed in the Old Testament law. And then Jesus and the New Testament writers do nothing that would change it or cancel it. And if anything, the New Testament kind of raises the standard of generosity and giving beyond the tithe. But this is not about following rules or legalism. I'm not interested in that kind of giving. I mean, slavish obedience is not and never is the answer. I mean, if our question is just, well, how much do I have to give to kind of check the box, to do what God asks, and then to move on with the rest of my life, then we're kind of missing the point of what God's calling us into. The New Testament casts a vision that calls us to a faith-filled and joyful, adventurous life of generosity, and it's why one of our core values as a church is also joyful obedience. And giving a tithe, a tenth of our income, to the local church is a tangible, practical way that we show love to God as well as to our fellow brothers and sisters, verse 1 here, who will be blessed. So I always call the Christian tithe just Christianity 101. It's where you start to learn generosity, the joy of giving and obedience and the life God calls us to. So the tithe is a great place to start, but it's a terrible place to stop. You don't want to stop there in your giving because the Bible doesn't. Because we're also called to, point number two here, to take care of our local community. Take care of others. So verse 2, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Hospitality to strangers involves generosity. In order to bless others, including complete strangers, we need to be generous with our time and our resources and our money. The Good Samaritan, who that story was mentioned 2 weeks ago, could not have properly helped a stranger if he didn't first give of his time, right? He stopped. He wasn't too preoccupied, too busy. But then also his money, right? He tells the innkeeper, just take care of this person. Whatever it's going to cost, however long he has to stay, I will cover the bill. And the way, you know, Hannah and I do this kind of category of giving is by actually budgeting money for kind of, quote, hospitality to strangers, when we just call it others' money. But it's just so much fun to live this way, to be able to spontaneously, like the Good Samaritan parable, meet the needs of people when they arise or just bless people for no reason. So yesterday, I was at Shoppers Drug Mart, as I always am, and I was at the checkouts, and the person across from me, they had gotten all their stuff, and they had it all in bags, and they realized they didn't have their wallet. And they're like, oh, can I just leave this here? I'm going to have to go home and get my wallet. And she's like, yeah, I got to call the cashier over to cancel it or whatever, whatever. And I was like, hey, man, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. And he's like, you sure? No way. Like, oh, that's fine. I'll go home. I'll get it. I was like, no, don't worry. I was like, I'm sure this is going to happen to me at some point. And so I'll take care of it. He's like, are you sure? It's pretty expensive. I was like, don't worry about it. And I just paid for his bill, right? And it was an opportunity to bless. 1 Timothy 6:18 talks about being ready and willing to share with others, that we have to intentionally be ready, kind of prepared, almost looking for ways that we can bless. It's one of the reasons that even though I don't really use cash for anything, as most don't in today's world, I always carry cash in my wallet, though, so that I can be ready to give. So just one very recent story, all my stories involve shopping because I do all the grocery shopping for my family, but I was at QF, and the person in front of me was being really mean to this young girl who was bagging the groceries, and I think she was new, and they were just being really rude. I don't know if it was like COVID rage or just them, you know, having a bad day. I'll try to give them the benefit of the doubt, but this girl was like on the verge of tears, and so I'm checking out, and I'm talking to the cashier first, and she's talking about how this girl's like newer or whatever, and so as I'm leaving, you know, I just pull a 20 out of my wallet, and I say, hey, you know, have lunch on me. You're doing a great job. And then I didn't want to leave the cashier out, so I gave the cashier 22 and said, you know, hey, you have lunch too. And she said, you know, that's the first tip I've ever had in years of working here. And, you know, I've been able to do this in other places. As I said, I shop at Shoppers Drug Mart all the time, do all their deals, their coupons and stuff. And, you know, all the cashiers, they know I'm a pastor. They know what I do. I've invited them to church events before. And so, you know, I know that they're watching. And so sometimes I give them all money for lunch and say, hey, yeah, you guys all have lunch or dinner on me. And they probably think pastors are just really rich and that this is a very lucrative job that I have here. In case you don't know, FYI, it's not. But here's what I'm aiming at and getting at. We want the ability to be able to respond creatively to the Holy Spirit, spontaneously and generously to the promptings of the Spirit. That's the love we're called to, showing hospitality to strangers, verse 2, who just might be, who knows, angels in disguise. Maybe that guy, I bought his stuff yesterday, maybe was an angel in disguise. So we take care of our local church through our tithe. We take care of our local community through setting aside money for others. And lastly, we also take care of our global community, and this we'll categorize as missions. So verse 3, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. One of the main ways we continue to remember those who are suffering is giving regularly towards helping them. So as this verse implies, this category is kind of about anybody maybe we can't reach personally or locally, so we kind of support it from afar. And the New Testament is full of examples of raising money for people in need in other places. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is a good example. And so as a church, we don't want to just be concerned about our local church and our local community only, as important, as essential as that is. We also want to be a part of what God is doing around the world and around the globe. And so you received our latest missions report this morning, or hopefully when you came in, and if you didn't, take it off the table on your way out. And this is a way to highlight some of the things. And we've been super privileged recently to have two of our supported global workers here this summer. The Wileys were here, and then the McAllisters were here. We also have some local ministries that we work with and get to kind of see: Young Life, Qualicum Beach, the campus ministry at VIU. But we don't want to forget about those who don't have the opportunity also to come and see us. So here's a brief greeting from one of our other global workers that we haven't seen in quite a while, just giving you a little bit of an update on them as well.
Hi friends, we are glad to be able to send our greetings and an update. We are helping to equip Christians in the sphere of government to operate from a biblical worldview that brings transformation to the nation through public policies. DNA Corandel Basics online course has expanded, and the number of students has more than doubled during the pandemic. We are right now counting 1,000 plus students.
Thank you for your continued prayers for our ministry and our family. We ask for prayer for the kids and families in the poor communities who are still suffering during this pandemic. We also ask for prayer for our Kingdomizers team, a group of young influencers who are reaching deeply into the nation of Brazil through their influence on individuals and society. And lastly, we ask for prayer for expansion and strategic transformation as we continue to minister to individuals, communities, and the nations. We also want to thank you for your prayers for our kids. We have celebrated Gabriella's wedding last month and are so thankful that you've been part of the journey with our children.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
The Monteros, they were here about 3-4 years ago, and hopefully we'll see them again soon. But we also have RAN workers, Restricted Access Nation, and we can't say very much publicly because they're in a very sensitive area where they kind of put themselves in danger by being there. But I got to Zoom with them just a few weeks ago and get an update on their ministry. And it really almost just brings me to tears as they work with migrant children who are in poverty. And even as the Monteros said that COVID, I don't care what you think about COVID, the reality doesn't change that it's hurt the poorest of the poor more than any other people. And they are doing what they can do with children that have been pushed even further deeper into poverty because of COVID. And so got to talk with them a little bit, and it just kind of broke my heart to hear about their stories and what they're doing. So verse 3, remember those who have been mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering with them. If you were one of those children, migrant children, in a tough situation like that, and you knew other people in the world were living in excess and financial stability, what would you want from them? We have to put ourselves in their shoes. Sometimes we have to live more simply so that the poor can simply live. And so the Holy Spirit may call us to begin to adjust and change our lives. There's a global hunger crisis going on right now. And on our missions board out there, where you can find out about all these people, we've put up this hunger sheet from Erdo, our humanitarian organization that we partner with, just to give they've given an update on, here's the situation in the world right now that has been really multiplied by COVID. So let me kind of bring this all together then, that we are called to generosity towards our local church, brothers and sisters, our local community, strangers, and our global community, those who are suffering. And these are kind of three areas of giving, our tithe, others, and missions. And these are the three giving categories in our church. They're the ones that are on the envelope. They're the three on the drop-down menu on our website that we emphasize and ask everyone to maybe try to give to. So you might be thinking, well, Joseph, that's a great vision, but how can I possibly give generously to all of those things? I mean, I can't even seem to get the basic tithe down in my life. I've been trying for a long time, or maybe it's just new and you don't know where to start. So my advice is just start somewhere. So if you're not tithing your 10% back to God through the local church, well, start there. Because that's just basic biblical teaching. It keeps the kingdom of God alive and vibrant around the globe. And that's where I started when I became a Christian. And then the Lord built my faith from there. So work your way up to that 10% tithe. That's kind of Christianity 101. And then you might start by saying, all right, well, we're going to set aside 1% for strangers, others, and we're going to give 1% to missions on top of that. I remember when Hannah and I started, we were only making 700 plus a month when we first got married. And so we'd tithe, and then we would just set aside a $5 bill for others and say, we're going to use this to bless other people, because that's really all we had at that time. And then we built from there as the Lord increased our faith. So don't wait until you feel ready or have enough. You will never feel ready. You will never feel like you have enough. But we have to eventually step out in faith. So I know I've talked about this before, some who have been around, but our family is committed to, 30% of our gross income being given away in this way. So we give 10% to each category, and that's the way we choose to live. But we didn't arrive there overnight, and neither will you. But over the course of years, we built up to that. And we had to learn over time and through intentional decisions to live on less so that we could give more. And the Holy Spirit may call you to something else. I'm not saying that's what you should do. But I am saying, would you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and ask him what he's calling you to do, where he's calling you to start? Because he's gentle. He's kind. He understands where you are. He's not going to guilt you into it. But what is he asking you to do? Because God does call us to a life of faith. So we assess our lives. Maybe he's calling you to simplify your life. We know that anxieties multiply with possessions, but joy increases as we simplify our lives. What is he asking you to do? So as the band comes up, we want to help you practice, kind of get used to it, listening to the Spirit. So you have an assignment this week. Can you believe it? You come to church and you leave with homework. I did this once before in a similar message long ago, but you might have noticed there's a whole bunch of $5 bills here on the table. So between now and next week, your assignment will be to take this $5 to get you started and do something you wouldn't normally do with it. So find someone to bless. Or if you've never given to your local church, I don't care if you just put it in the giving box and say, Lord, this is my first step in getting used to doing this. Or use it for a care fund offering that blesses people in the community. Give it to an organization. Buy someone some groceries. Buy the really nice candy bars to hand out to your neighbors to bless kids. And just be noticeable so that people remember you in your neighborhood. And maybe it'll lead to more conversation. Have fun with it. But what I found is that when we set aside money and tell the Lord we're prepared and willing to use it, he finds opportunities for us to be able to bless and meet a need. And I know some of you don't need $5. That's not the point. Take it as a reminder and just as a way to practice, to kind of get that seed in the ground. And this is not the church's money, by the way, so don't be shy. Just take it. There's no pressure. If the worst that happens is, you know, again, you just next week put it back in the box because nothing happened, that's fine. That's fine. There's no condemnation there. But maybe something cool will happen. And if so, maybe you can write a little thing on our group page, a little testimony, or maybe we'll make time to share next week, and we'll just see what the Lord's up to. We'll see what the Holy Spirit does. So as we sing this song about just giving the Lord our whole lives, every part of us, go ahead and come and take this and just begin to pray over this area of your life. What the Lord is asking you to do, what the Holy Spirit's asking you to do. I don't expect that everybody leaves with the same thing, right? The point here isn't to tell you this is what you should do. We just want to invite the Holy Spirit and take the risk to ask and to pray. So come, take a $5 bill, use that as a reminder, and then as you sing this song, pray, and then I'll close us with a benediction. So.